The Diary of a Wimpy Kid series has become a phenom among children and parents. There are 150 million of the books in print in 45 different languages. And on a recent Thursday at Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York, author Jeff Kinney was working a crowd of hundreds of kids and their parents, signing books and making small talk.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mason.
Hi, how are you doing, Mason?
I drew this picture of the
Oh, that is so cool, man. I love it. That's with the boat and everything,
yeah,
huh?
You can have it.
Oh, thank you. Really? I can? Thank you very much. There you go. Thanks, man. Let's look
thank
up
you.
For a picture here.
Cheese.
Cheese touch.
In the latest Diary of a Wimpy Kid book, the Heffley family is hitting the road in the ninth installment of the series, and Kinney has been taking a road trip of his own to support the book. The newest, The Long Haul, is about middle schooler Greg Heffley and his family hopping in the car for a long vacation trip. It is a first for the family that has stayed close to home in the previous eight books. Kinney kicked off his promotion tour on November 3rd in a huge orange tour bus decorated with drawings of the Wimpy Kid and his family. Kinney has been off and on the road since then and has his last stop later today. On this Thursday in the Spa City, after Kinney's motorcade left his hometown the day before in Plainfield, Massachusetts, and traveled to Rhinebeck and then overnight to Clifton Park in Guilderland, New York, it is there where I picked up the bus and traveled with Kinney to Saratoga, making sure I debussed before they headed north to Toronto. Forecast? Snow. Making me a wimpy kid.
Thanks for letting me aboard.
Thanks for having me. Welcome.
It's very nice to be on the bus. How did this whole idea of taking the show on the road come to be?
We started a few years ago on my fourth book tour. I really realized it was too risky to be traveling around by planes because you could always miss a flight, and then there might be 1,000 or 2,000 people waiting for you somewhere. And so it caused me a lot of stress. So we started to go out in tour buses. And for this book in particular, it felt really sort of perfect because the book is about a road trip, and now we're on the long-haul tour bus.
The long-haul tour bus, we'll have pictures on our website, but it's a large orange bus, and it's, you know, it's the rock star tour bus. So, but that's not the life you seem to be leading here looking around.
No. Yeah. Well, actually, at night we crank up the karaoke, so we have our rock star moments. But, yeah, I think it's a pretty G-rated rock star experience here.
So the way this works is typically you will come to do a couple of schools and then do a bookstore event at night. But it's you speaking to large groups of people several times a day.
Yeah, and I've been worried that was going to be difficult, but it's actually been pretty easy. We visit about three schools a day, and sometimes we'll get crowds as big as, you know, 900, 1,200 kids. Sometimes it's smaller than that, but I was worried about giving the same speech, but every crowd is so different that there's a different energy, and it kind of, you know, it's a challenge to try to figure out how to reach the kids in the best way.
When you started this, how did it all come about? Because obviously you didn't think even with book one that by book four you'd be on a tour bus before thousands of kids.
Right. It came about slowly. Diary of a Wimpy Kid was, sort of an idea for a long time. I worked on it for about 8 years and then finally showed it to a publisher who liked it. And even the first 2 years were really slow. I would go out to different bookstores around the country and sometimes draw nobody at all. You know, there were often times when I'd just be waiting an hour and, you know, with my hands folded in my lap and just hoping somebody would show up. And then it sort of grew. It grew kind of organically. And then it actually got to a point where it was kind of out of control. On the third or fourth book tour, I think there were book signings that were almost 5 hours long. And it was just too much. So we scaled back and we're trying to now concentrate on having a really good experience for about 800 people.
What is it about this character? What do you think there is about Greg Heffley that gets people, certainly of that age, of that middle school age, interested and reading and excited about this character?
I think what kids like about Greg Heffley is that he's relatable. I was reading the Harry Potter books while I was writing Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and it struck me that Harry, even though you think of him as an underdog, in some ways he's not. He's powerful. He's got magical powers. He's popular. He's the boy that lived. He's brave. He's a good athlete. He's great at Quidditch, and he's also rich. His parents left him gold and Gringotts, so he's all of the things that I was not as a kid. And I wanted to create a character who was more like I was, and so that is Greg.
In the sense of how you would do the book, it was always a lot about design. Obviously, there was great content. There was the drawing, and then there was the text, but a lot about the design of the book.
My challenge when I first started writing the book, when I first started to put it up online, was to get kids to turn the page. I felt like I needed an image on the first page to draw them in. And then I realized that, yes, I needed one on the second page and the third one, too. And then it just went on from there. So I always had in mind that I'd write text with graphics, but it wasn't until I started putting it up on the web that I really realized how important the graphics were.
Did you always have the sense that it would be a diary, that it would be a day-to-day entry in this kid's life?
I did always think of it as a diary. The title came first, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and I had it in mind right away that Greg subverts the title by saying, first of all, let me get something straight. This is a journal, not a diary. I thought that was a fun way to kick off a book by turning your expectations upside down.
When you think about the character and the idea of the book, it seems as though, and I guess this is where your craftsmanship comes in, okay, we're going to tell the story, but we want this to look like it is the diary of a kid, and so the drawings come down a notch, right? It's you're not showing your true artistic potential at this point.
I think in ways I am showing my true artistic potential. I think that my aspiration was to become a newspaper cartoonist, but I didn't have the skill to pull it off. So I did come up with a lower style, a more simplified style. But I think it's middle school polish, I guess is what I'd call it. So it's not, you don't really believe that a middle schooler could have come up with this, but you sort of make believe that they would.
And it does have, especially I think in the later books, in this new book especially, that it does very much have that beautiful comic book feel and panel comic feel to it.
Right. This is definitely born of comics. I had wanted to be a newspaper cartoonist, but I didn't get that dream. But I think that my books are a little bit different from illustrated books because it's text interspersed with images, but the images really are comics, and it's different in that way than sort of books that came before it.
I think we've talked about this in past interviews, but the Calvin and Hobbes influence is unmistakable, isn't it?
I think that, I wish I could, draw like Bill Watterson. I can't even come close to Bill Watterson. But I think that there's a little bit of the expressiveness of Greg that relates to Calvin, I think. But I think that, in Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin could be a child, but he also was very wise at times, and he was making commentary on the world around him. But I think that Greg is never wise. I think you couldn't mistake him for being wise in that way.
What is it about being labeled, do you think, a wimpy kid, even that so many kids, we just came from a large auditorium filled with middle schoolers, so you relate to them, even though, okay, we're identifying them as quote-unquote wimpy kids?
That was a big question going forward. Would a kid pick up my book off the shelves if it said Diary of a Wimpy Kid on it? Would kids self-identify? And I don't think that they do. I think that maybe wimpy has turned into something else in their minds. It just means a kid who's not perfect in a way. And maybe that's the way that they identify. But I've seen, football player type kids reading my books just as avidly as kids who are a little bit on the scrawny side.
And that's because they're universal, because they're about that growing up experience.
Yes, I think the thing that I've learned, especially going abroad, is that childhood seems to be a universal condition. These kids, they don't speak the same language as I do, and we don't share the same culture, but we do share in some way childhood. So I think that's sort of the magic of writing for children.
It seems as though at some point early on in the process, you knew that you would have to take the road trip, right? I mean, it seems inevitable.
Yeah, surprisingly, I hadn't thought of a road trip until this time last year. And in fact, I have a new book due next November, but I have no idea what it's going to be about. I have, you know, zero jokes and no concept, and it will surprise me when I come up with that concept, but then it'll seem obvious, I think, once I've come up with it.
You talk about the jokes. There is a joke writing element to this, isn't there?
I start with the jokes. Most writers would start with the outline, the plot, and then build jokes into it. But I actually start with the jokes. I sort of write upside down. I come up with all my jokes first, and then I figure out what kind of a plot the jokes suggest.
And is that ever challenging? Is that ever difficult? Does that ever put you into a box that you don't want to be in?
It is very difficult for me because if I were to sit here and think for a few hours, I probably wouldn't come up with any jokes at all. So I always have to trust that I'll eventually be able to come up with enough ideas to create a new story. But with this one, with the long haul especially, I was thinking about it cinematically. So I came at it from a different angle. I was thinking about set pieces and breaking it into three acts. So this book was a little bit different than the others.
Jeff Kinney is our guest. The name of the new book is Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul. This has spawned a movie. It has spawned a balloon in the Macy's Day Parade. My God, what is that like for you?
It's really cool for me. I mean, cool isn't even the right word for it. It's mind-blowing to me that my character, who's really a stick figure, is flying amongst these really classic characters. But I remember when I really realized my place in the world was when Greg Heffley flew after Kermit the Frog, and I realized that you should never get too full of yourself because you can always be looking down the backside of a frog.
Are you proud of the movie? Do you think it turned out the way you wanted it to?
I think there's a lot about the movies I like. There's always going to be, as an author, things that you would want to change, but that's just part of the bargain. I think where the movies really deliver is on the emotional front, is that those stories are well told on an emotional level, and you really need to do that for films. It's different than a book. I don't need to tell an emotional story in my books. I need to tell a funny story. But when you put people into a movie theater, you have to deliver on the emotional front, or people are not going to be very happy.
Was there ever an idea to animate it?
We are working now on an animated holiday special, actually two of them, that I hope to come out in the next 2 years or so. And I think it'll be fun to see Greg in his more natural form.
When you think about the trajectory of all of this, is that this is a diary of a wimpy kid. The books have been coming out yearly now, and so your audience that started with you is now getting older. Are they aging out? How is that working? What are you finding and doing? Because I assume you have to think about this, of finding the next audience.
I think kids definitely age out. Especially if you think back to my web days. I released in 2004. So that was 10 years ago. So those kids who discovered the books at age 12 are 22 now. So those kids have definitely aged out. And I do always find a new audience. I think when a kid goes to the library now, they find a stack of Diary of a Wimpy Kid books. Hopefully they'll open one up and start reading. And then eventually they get to a point where they've exhausted all of the books and now they need to, you know, wait for the new one. It's cool to meet kids right at that intersection where they're looking for a new book and they're excited about it.
You are the darling of the independent book world. You have been very supportive of independent bookstores. You're with an independent publisher. You have done this not selling out, and you yourself are going to open an independent bookstore. That seems to be very important to you.
It is. I live in a small town called Plainville, Massachusetts, and we used to have a general store in the middle of our town, and it's been closed for about 17 years, and it's been an eyesore. It's fallen apart. It was built in the 1800s. And so we tore it down, and we're putting a bookstore in its place. And I feel like every town should have a bookstore. I think it changes the way a town thinks about itself. And I think that It's also something that I want for very selfish reasons. When I was a kid, we had a bookstore crop up near my home, and the 2 years that it was there were great years for me. I went all the time, and then it was taken away. And I feel like for a lot of people, really good things are being taken from them. You know, Borders shutting down was hard for a lot of people, and I think that bookstores are so important, so that's why we're building one in our town.
What are the challenges of being a successful writer and someone who has deadlines and tours and running a business?
There are a lot of pressures, actually. You know, today I had to attend a very important meeting for my day job, which is working on a website called Pop Tropica. And then, you know, hop off the bus and do a speech. And so it's always kind of confusing where I am. I never know where I am at any one given moment, but so far I've been able to keep all the balls in the air at the same time.
That's interesting. Do you think of this as writer, as the creator of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, as the day job?
No, I have a day job, you know, working with peers, and I have a boss working for Pop Tropica. So, especially because that job is on a 9-to-5 schedule, I think about that job as my day job. And in fact, I've never really done almost any writing for Diary of a Wimpy Kid during the work hours, 9-to-5. I did for the first time ever this year. I went away for five days to work on my writing, but mostly I'm on the day job schedule.
Do you want this to be the day job, or do you want that distinction?
I think I definitely could have Diary of a Wimpy Kid be my day job if I wanted to. I think I'll always have my foot in, you know, my hands in a million different things. And, you know, I'm working on the movie also simultaneously as I'm here. I'm working on the next round of movies, if we're so lucky to see them get filmed. And I'm also working on animated holiday specials. So I'm always going to have a lot of things going on, a lot of pots on the stove.
We were just at the high school auditorium. There's all these middle schoolers in the auditorium, and they're asking all kinds of questions. What fascinates you about that, about the questions that they ask?
I think what fascinates me in a way is how similar the questions are. The kids do want to know the same things. Usually, you know, what color the next book is going to be. I think what's funny is sometimes I think the kids ask questions that they think that their teachers would want them to ask, like what inspired you to write the books and things like that. And every so often a kid will be blunt and say, are you rich, or, you know, something like that, which it always takes me off guard and is kind of funny. But those are the questions the kids really want to know.
Well, I just figured that the answer to that question was yes until you told me about the day job.
Right. We have more than we need, and we're trying to do good deeds with what we have, that's for sure. But no, I have the day job not for money, but for a love of the work.
When you think about what you accomplish with these books, of getting kids to read, what do you see? Because we talk about kids aging out. In a Jeff Kinney world, how would you like to see them progress in their reading and the next step? Because independent bookstores are great at saying, oh, if you like that, you'll like this. So have you given thought to that? Oh, okay, this would be great if then they start to explore this, this, and this.
Yeah, every so often I'll run into a parent who will say either one of two things. One is that these are the only books my kid will ever read. Or two is they'll say, you got my child to become a reader. And I definitely like the second one better, because I like to think that kids discover a love of reading in my books and then they move on to bigger and better things. You know, kids should be reading for pleasure. It's the same reason. It's the reason that adults read. And if you don't give kids something that they'll enjoy, you don't have much of a hope of your child becoming a lifelong reader. It has to feel like fun, not like work.
And for the next book, when the tour is over, you can start worrying about that.
I can. I'm starting to worry about it already.
But one a year seems right.
One a year seems right from a quality perspective. You know, the book just came out, and it's we just found out it's the number one book in the country. And, you know, I'm sort of pinching myself. I'm like, how long can this go on? You know, it's book 9, and I feel very grateful whenever that happens. And, you know, but I think that's partially because of the way that we publish.
The name of the book is Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul. Jeff Kinney is the author. Jeff, it's a great pleasure. Thanks for letting us ride along on the bus.
Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming out. Absolutely. Who's this for?
I'm Logan.
Logan, excellent. Somebody was purring like a cat there. Which one? What, really, was it him?
Oh,
thank you very much. Take care. Thanks.